Know mai, wairua tapu, haere mai ki kone.
Morena, Elijah, me, Karen, you. Here, we're the pastors of Unite. We're a church of small communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
As a community of prayerful love, we desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus, according to the Bible, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Devoted to God and Jesus with one another.
Showing the world the love of God.
Fantastic.
Nice.
I want to share a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount. Karen's going to share, it's going to be all good. I love this. I mean, I think we're going to come back to these passages before we finish Matthew. Really good. But before we do, I just want to always recognize the Lordship of Christ. Let's just take a moment to recognize that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of all time. He is Lord of our souls personally. And so we trust Him to lead us, and we live by the Spirit. So even when we don't really know how to live by the Spirit, we trust Him and we say, God, I have a yes to your Spirit. So let's just do that for right now. Let's just have a moment of surrender to say, Holy Spirit, we trust you to be leading us right now. We trust you, Jesus Christ. And when we don't know anything else, we know that you have saved our souls and that you are Lord of all. So we trust you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's so important we do that. We're not here just to share and open the Bible and do all these things. Yes, very earthly things, but we do them in the Spirit as people of the Spirit.
Yeah, it's good.
Awesome. Okay, so here we are in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most important teachings in the scripture, in the Christian scripture. All of the Torah is reinterpreted or rightfully interpreted by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And all of the New Testament authors that came after saw these words of Jesus as the foundation to their teaching to the troops of home churches that they were writing letters to. Jesus reminds those Jewish people listening that the Torah was never about rules and regulations, but about, at its core, knowing God and living in partnership with Him. He also speaks a way of living that was, and I could argue still is, so countercultural to the ways of the world, to those listening, that those listening lived in. Primarily speaking, Jesus placed such a high value on relationship and how people treat one another in a culture that was competitive, relationally volatile and shame-based, where people used other people to climb to the top, where it was a scarcity mindset. If you get, I don't get. So it's me versus you. Does that sound familiar? It can be so easy to read the Sermon on the Mount with all of our preconceived notions still intact. I invite us to approach the scripture humbly, seeking to learn anew with an attitude of surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. Would we be humble, knowing that we are the ones being formed, not the ones doing the forming? And would we be confident, trusting that the core of us, the core of my being, the core of your being, is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ, and that His Spirit is faithful to lead us in all truth? So with that said, I think there are two main frameworks, two main questions that are useful to ask ourselves when considering the Sermon on the Mount. One is this: how is Jesus bringing us back to the heart, to the core? You see, Jesus constantly brings the teaching of the law from a place of doing the right thing to a matter of the heart, the core intent of the person. And you can see Him doing this. It's not about, oh, yes, okay. For example, if someone, if I have to walk a mile with someone, I should do 2 miles. He's actually talking contextually, and he's talking about the intent of someone. When someone wrongs you, you, instead of wronging them back, you walk in forgiveness and you expose the injustice by actively trusting God in that process. So, that question again: how is Jesus bringing us back to the heart? Second, how is this second question, how is this passage grounded in relationships? Jesus makes it really hard, if not impossible, for us to say we love God but don't treat one another well. Relationships, first with God, then with one another, and then to the world, are of the highest priority to God. So we need to take them seriously as well. So what does Jesus mean by relationships? I think this: how our view of someone shapes how we treat them or respond to them. So I'll say that again. How our view of someone shapes how we treat them or respond to them. Mm-hmm. Our power as humans is in our response. And our response to the world will always be influenced by our perception of reality. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to renew and heal how we see God, ourselves, and others, so that we might walk in true life with Him. So if sin is deciding what is right and wrong outside of connection to the one who created you, then surrender is trusting the one who made you with what is right and wrong, and letting Him heal you and save you from the consequence of your own deciding by yourself. We weren't made to be by ourselves. We weren't made to be just dependent on ourselves. We were made to be dependent and in partnership with God. The Sermon on the Mount is God showing and telling us how we were made to be. And it's not all pretty, it's not all tied up in a bow, because the world is painful and not the way it was supposed to be. But it is purposeful, because Jesus came to save us and renew the world to make it right. So the sermon shows us a way to trust Him and live in the messy middle of a world caught between two kingdoms, one that already won, and the other that is fighting like one who knows its time is short. And while we wait for Jesus to make all things right in fullness, we trust that He is already at work making things right in us. And that we, as followers of Him, can show the world a new way to be in the middle of the mess of our own souls and of the world. That is the message of the one who would die for our sins to be raised to life again, to defeat death and to invite us into new life with Him in the Spirit.
Amazing, thank you. I'm going to talk about boundaries, and this has to be one of my favourite self-management topics. And I could talk about this for a long time, but I can't. And what I'm going to say only just skims the surface, but it came out of one of the verses this week that we read on Tuesday about oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And the New King James Version says, and you might recognize this bit, let your yes be yes and your no, no. It's a teaching on character, on integrity, on healthy relationships, and on boundaries. And there's a lot of wrong teaching or misconception out there about boundaries. And it's more about what we're saying yes to rather than what we say no to. Yes, in boundaries, we have to say no to things, but it's more about the yes. And the best way to explain boundaries is a visual thing, so you have to use your imaginations. Boundaries are essentially the property line of you. Your house, where you live, will have a property line, which are its boundaries. It's where your land stops and someone else's begins. It's where your control and responsibility stops and someone else's begins. A healthy life of boundaries will have a fence between your space and the next person's. A fence with a gate gives us control over what we allow in, what we let out, and what stays out and never gets to come in. If just anyone is allowed in and out of your property willy-nilly, there's a problem, and it's not just their problem. And unfortunately, people exploit boundaries, and that's the heartbreak in being a human in a human world. It's important to learn that boundaries are all about self-control in relationships, letting our yeses be yes and our noes be no. This doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. How is how I am affecting us? How I control my boundaries will affect those around me. We all have a responsibility to manage what's in our property in order to preserve and protect our connections to those around us, including God. And taking the house boundaries example, if your neighbor's property is a garbage dump with raging parties every day, you can imagine the effect it will have on you. How you manage your property, your boundaries, will be a clear indicator to those around you of your level of self-control and the love you have for yourself. Without a priority of setting healthy boundaries, we'll live in a constant state of unrest and reaction to one another. Boundaries keep our heart, body, soul, and spirit healthy. And I'll finish with Philippians 4 verse 8, which is all about boundaries, what you choose to say yes to, letting into your thoughts. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Awesome. That leads us to our questions. And here's the first one. Tahi, what do the need for boundaries show us about what God is like?
Rua, how is Jesus bringing us back to the heart in this passage?
And Toru, how is this passage grounded in relationships, how we treat one another?
Nice. To end, thank you, Unite, for your regular gifts of money and time, committing yourselves to the word and prayer and the practice of Christ's love in community. We are thankful to Jesus for you.
Oops. Sorry, I just changed the thing.
What are you doing?
Okay, and we want to take some time. We always do, because it's an act of worship, to consider our money and treasures before God, to offer them up again in worship as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus. So let me pray this over us. Father God, thank you for providing for us day by day. We trust you in this. Thank you for tithes and offerings given to Unite. Thank you for your spirit leading us in generosity to one another and wherever you may lead. We trust you with our money, our possessions, our time, our choices. You are Lord of all. We trust that you are good and that you lead us well. Our life's not our own. We were bought it at a price. And we want to honor you, Jesus. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. You can find information about Unite and get in contact via our website, unitechurch.org.nz.
Absolutely. Also, just a reminder, this is on Spotify. If you want to get baptized, someone's already talked to us. Baptisms, we'd love to organize that. Youth is on Thursday nights. All-ins at the end of the month. Awesome. That's good. Why don't we finish with our benediction?
Nice. May we rest in the goodness of our Father. May we trust in Jesus as Lord.
Yes.
May the Holy Spirit form us and guide us as we journey together. May we practice Christ's love in community. May we partner with God in putting the world back together.
Yeah.
Above all else in all things, may we know that we are truly and wholly loved by God.
Amen. And we want you to know, just as we finish right now, we truly do pray for you, neighborhood churches, constantly. We're praying for you and believing for the Spirit to be at work. So we're excited. We're celebrating you. And we sit with you in contention over things that are not yet to be. So we are praying and we believe in the Spirit's work in your heart and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Bye.
See ya.